over the Christmas period is magnificent. And it's based on the prayer of praise and the exclamation that Mary gave in response to the news and the realization of the mission that God had given her to become and to bear the Savior, to bear, become the mother of Jesus and to bear the Savior. It's from the Latin word magnificat, which means to magnify, to make great, to make known. And let's read the words of Mary that's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 47 to verse 49. This is a response to her cousin Elizabeth, who has exclaimed and has declared that the baby that is in her womb is truly the Lord. And Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord," or magnifies the Lord, "and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." The great one doing mighty things. How holy is his name. Now, who's looking forward to Christmas morning? Some folks haven't got their hands up. Some folks have only got one hand up. Me, you'll note, I've got two hands up. I'm in anticipation. You know, we're looking forward to having a great time with family, having a great time with around, perhaps having a meal together, and maybe even opening some gifts. Now, there's expectation, there's hope, and there's family in as well today, just sowing a little seed. We're hoping for some presents, aren't we? Winifred's hoping for some presents. I'm not sure about the rest of you right enough. Yeah. Now, one of the things about receiving presents that happened in our house, didn't matter whether it was birthdays or Christmases or things like that, is that you had to phone your granny. You had to phone your auntie. Or you had to write a little thank you note and thank you card, which would take hours. And it was one of those, you know, I would line up, there would be my older brother Andrew, there would be me, there would be Peter, and there would be Christine that would be there. And in our house, at the top of the hallway, in the days where there was only one telephone in the house, and it was wired into the wall, and you couldn't move about with it, and we had this little black telephone table that sat at the top of the hallway, and we would each have to stand there beside it and say, "Thank you for my present," be handed on to the next one. "Thank you for my present," be handed on to the next one. "Thank you for," and so on. Eventually, everybody was thanked. And I've got to be honest, I was grateful for the gift, but I wasn't so grateful for the opportunity to say thank you. And in fact, we kind of hoped that in between Christmas and New Year, that you'd see as many of your relatives as you could, so you could kind of run in and say thank you, and run back out and run away again. And that would have hopefully sufficed. But tell me, if you had gone up to your granny, your auntie, the week before Christmas, and just run up to them and said, "Thank you for that gift that you're going to give me." You run up to them saying, "You know that present that I'm going to get? Thank you for it. Thank you very much. Thank you." But it's a week before. I mean, you'd be perhaps thinking that, are you being a little bit presumptuous? Are you being a little bit precocious? Is it something that's so precious to you, you're so desperate for it, that you're saying, "I really, really want it, and thank you so much, because you're going to give it to me"? Or in Mary's case, is she being prophetic? Is she recognizing in advance of the event what God has promised her and giving praise to God in advance for what he's already spoken into and spoken over her life? You see, Mary is saying thank you to God. She's writing her card. She's standing at the telephone table. She's got the receiver in her hand towards heaven and saying thank you, God, in advance of the gift, in advance of the event, in advance of the moment of Jesus being born. And her response to this situation, her response to the gift that God was giving her, that she was going to be able to birth and give in that sense to the world of the Lord Jesus Christ, was, The Lord has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. Now Mary is blessed, not blessed. She's as blessed as you and I can be as part of the family of God. And to be blessed, she's blessed because of who God is. She's blessed because of what God has planned for her, and she's blessed because of his future that is becoming her present. She's blessed because God is love, because God is unchanging, because God is holy. We'll talk about that in a little minute. She's blessed because we've got God who's got planned for her, that she is included in this great big plan of God for the whole wide world. And that God has got a place for her. God has got a mission for her. God has got an adventure for her, not just to go on, but to be an intrinsic part of. And she's blessed because of his future, which is becoming her reality, to be a mother, to be the mother of the Savior, that she will have a son, and that salvation of the Jews and salvation of the world is going to come through her son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I suggest that you have got the opportunity, the possibility today to be blessed by God? Because God is love. Because God is unchanging. Because God is holy. Because of what God has got planned, not just for Mary, but because God has got planned for you. That he's got a plan for your life that involves and includes you saying yes to him and running with the adventure of God's plan and God's future for your life. And you will not bear the Savior, but you can bear witness to the Savior. You will not carry the baby Jesus in your womb, but you can carry the incredible story of the transformation and the change that God has brought about in your life through the forgiveness that was won for us in the cross of Jesus. The NIV Thematic Bible describes blessing as being spiritual and material benefits given by God to be enjoyed. Blessing the name of God is also the appropriate response of believers to all that God has done for them. The Amplified Bible puts it like this: to be blessed is to be favored of God, special, chosen. Isn't that good news this morning? All the people in the face of the earth, God says, you're blessed, that you're favored, that you're chosen, that there are benefits, that are qualities in God that you can enjoy purely because you're part of the family of God. And you know, many of the Old Testament blessings of God to man were covenant promises, unbreakable, unchangeable promises of God into man's life. They were promises of inheritance, of what God was going to give them. They were promises all to do with their identity of who they can be, who they will be if they're obedient, if they follow God's plan and follow God's ways, and promises of the ongoing involvement of God in their lives, that he would never ever leave them, he would never abandon them, they would always be special and close to him. So therefore, to say, as Mary said, I am blessed, which I hope you're going to be able to say and are saying and speaking into and over your life, is actually to recognize God as being the source and the one who should be praised. You know, lots of people would say, are you not kind of bigging yourself up to say, I am blessed? You know, is that not a bit of a statement that might be seen as being full of pride or full of presumption? But actually, what you're doing and saying, I am blessed, you're saying God is blessing me. And we're blessed to be a blessing. What you're actually saying is, I want to reflect praise back to God. It's not about saying, look how good I am. It's about saying, look how good God is. And as Mary said, for all generations will call me blessed. She's saying it because she's saying, look how good God is. That he will include me in his plan. That he will include you in his plan. It is good news. So in that sense, Mary becomes like a mirror, reflecting the light and shining it back. If I was to have a mirror here and to be reflecting these spotlights that are shining down on the stage area, the platform, the front area this morning, you know, it would dazzle your eyes if I was to be catching it and just, you know, shining it directly into your eyes. You probably wouldn't thank me for it, but it would be reflecting, it would be bouncing off, and we'd be shining in another direction. And as the light of the world, Jesus, comes into our life, we've got the potential, as we say, I am blessed in God through Jesus, to shine his light from our lives to other people. But also, as we say, I'm blessed, and we are giving glory back to God. Now, just in case you're not 100% satisfied that you're blessed, I want to give you in a couple of minutes seven reasons to be blessed this Christmas from what Mary says in these couple of verses. You can be blessed this Christmas, number one, because God remembers you. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, that God knows you by name. He does not forget you. He does not exclude you. They say that one of the most strenuous time for a lot of people at Christmas is loneliness, being on their own. I hear a radio advert for an empty seat project, where if you've got some empty space at your table, you'd be willing to let somebody who might be on their own come and be a part of your Christmas festivities and celebrations. Why? Because they don't want people lonely. I mean, was it Elvis that sang, "It's going to be lonely this Christmas without you"? Certainly you can say that if it's lonely with Christmas without God in your life. But God remembers you. He does not forget about you. He knows about you. He knows your situation. He knows your circumstances. He knows everything about you, but is still 100% committed to you. First reason to be blessed. Number two, because God honors your humility. Now, lots of people think that humility is about being a little bit of a shrinking violet, about almost kind of bowing down to anybody and everybody else and just letting them have their way and walking all over you and just not keeping out the road of the buses and not causing a fuss or anything like that. But humility is about having a right attitude. Humility is about doing the right actions before God and before man. And Mary recognized that God had not forgotten. He'd been mindful of the humble state of his servant, because Mary was doing right actions before God and before man. That she wasn't going to be put off by man's opinions. She wasn't going to be put off by the what-ifs of God's plan for her life. Because God's plan for her life was causing her to become the person that people would point fingers at, the person that people might exclude from the group, would put herself under the potential of a death threat. And we talked about that last week when Mary said yes to God's plan to become the mother of Jesus, even though she hadn't been with a man, but the people would be pointing a finger. I was with Suzanne in Greenock Prison on Thursday night. And Suzanne had been doing a nativity, not just here at Holy Corner, but also with some inmates at Greenock Prison. And she invited me to go and see it. And I want to tell you, it was fantastic to see these guys bringing that production. It was fantastic because they brought a very earthly and real response to Mary and Joseph's news of the baby being born. That was without a sanitized Christian theological grid necessarily being put on top of it. All the emotions of exclusion, all the emotions of "you're telling me lies, who have you been with?" And, you know, Mary and Joseph having to go to the parents and telling them, "by the way, I'm having a baby." In all the wrong ways, but all the right ways according to God's unique and special circumstances. And Mary said yes to God's plan, regardless of the cost. That was her humility. And as we continue to say yes to God, to act humbly before God and before man, then we will be blessed. Number three, we're blessed because God's story becomes your story. That is his story that becomes your his story. That history records Mary's yes to God. And history records what happened as a result of Mary's yes to God. Elam's general superintendent, John Glass, often says that the doors of history swing on small hinges. Of those choices, those decisions, those moments that you say, and the greatest and best decision that you could ever say is saying yes to God and saying yes to the gift of allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to be a part of your life and making his story your story. So God remembers you. God honors your humility. God makes your story his story. Number four, because God, you're blessed, because God is the mighty one. That he is greater than, he is stronger than anybody, anything that the world has ever created, could throw at you or might be lurking out there. We live in a world where there are lots of what-ifs. You read your newspaper and there are lots of powerful people in lots of powerful countries and lots of powerful situations, and there are lots of what-ifs that are going on out there. If so-and-so does this, what is this going to mean for the world? If so-and-so does that, then what is that going to mean in this area and that area? You know, we get climate change, threats of terrorism and all those kind of things that's going on all over the world. And it's good to know that God is stronger than the economic situation, that God is stronger than any group or organization that wants to bring its way to the world. God truly is the mighty one. And you are blessed if you side yourself with the Lord God Almighty. God Almighty, God of the angel armies, would be the extensive amplified version of the mighty one, the almighty one. So number five, because God has, and God will do great things for me. It was Mary's declaration over her life that God is doing great things and God will do great things for me. It's the old chorus, isn't it? Count your blessings. Give thanks to God. Look forward to God's blessing and God's preferred option and choice for your life. And that was personified in Jesus, the hope of the world, the hope of ages, the hope of mankind, of history, and of humanity. That the Savior that was promised down through the centuries of the Old Testament, down through the intertestamental years, was being made real in this little baby that was going to be born, the baby of Bethlehem that was going to become the Christ of Calvary, who would bear our sin and bear our shame so that we might be forgiven, so that we might be connected to God, so that we could be friends of the Most High Almighty God and embracing His plan and purpose for our life. The sixth reason that we can be blessed is because God's name is holy. Now, lots of people think of God as holy and being God, you know, almost the old man in the cloud with a big beard and a big stick that's going to beat you up the moment that you step out of line. But holy means pure. Holy means perfect. Holy means set apart. Holy means untouchable, holy other. Yet in Jesus, holiness has a face. Holiness is a person. Holiness, His hands. And yes, those hands would be nailed to a cross so that we might be made holy. Because the command of Scripture is to be holy as God, as I am holy, as God is holy. And God makes His holiness accessible to you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're blessed if you walk in His holy ways. If you're blessed if you follow this holy God. You're blessed if you worship this holy Son. You're blessed if you have the presence, the ministry, the activity of the Spirit who is holy in your life. You see, the seventh reason for you to be blessed this morning is because God makes His power possible. When Mary said that He's the God of great things, the God who has done great things for me, she's actually making real what the angel said to her in verse 37. You remember last week in verse 37, it is Mary said that I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me just as you have said. When the angel told her the news that she was going to be mother to baby Jesus. The angel declared, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary was blessed because these words that had been spoken found a root in her heart and were now becoming the confession over her life. See, great things in its root form is the Greek word dunakos, which means dynasty, which means dynamite, and which means dynamic. It's the ability to act or accomplish great things that would be outside your normal sphere of activity and of ability. So as Mary says, the mighty one has done great things for me. She no longer, it's not just out there as a word that for God, with God, nothing is impossible. But it's taken root in her heart and she recognizes it. She confesses it. She's living it. She's walking in it. That God has done great things for me. And as you look back in your life, you may say, God has done great things for me, that He gives you the ability to do things that are over and above your normal and natural skills and talents. We saw our youth group doing their Britain's Got Talent, showing their skills off, and Alvin as well in there. We saw them doing that. But recognizing that God gives you abilities, the ability to worship, the ability, like the shepherd and like the wise men, to come and lay your gifts before Jesus, but not just your gifts, but to lay your entire life, who you are and all you will be, to lay that at the foot of the Savior. To experience His welcome to His eternal family, if you like, the dynasty that's there. To experience His power, the dynamite of God in your life that gives you the power to live different, think different, be different. To be holy as God is holy. And the ability to have His dynamism, His strength, His enabling, His equipping in your life. See, Mary said, "For God, with God nothing is impossible," as she declared this. God's eternal plan, God's eternal power, God's eternal propulsion, sending her forward into the unknown, not knowing how other people were going to react, but all she knew is that she was blessed and she had to follow the God who had blessed her. That she was going to rest in God, she was going to put her trust in this baby Jesus, and this God, this Jesus, is available to you and it's available to me to experience today. So this Christmas, I want you to remember that you are blessed. That you are blessed, blessed of God. This Christmas, I want to remember or remind you to say thank you for your presence. Say thank you to your granny, but also say thank you to God for His past, for His present, for your future in Him. And all the blessings that are unlocked over and into your life as you come and worship and follow God's plan for your life and follow the teachings of His Son, our Savior, the baby of Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to say thank you for coming and joining with us today. Please come and join with us over the Christmas period if it's possible. If you don't have a church that you're normally part of, we would love to see you worshiping here and joining with us. And if this morning you're saying, Gordon, do you know what? I need to change some things in my life because I'm not as blessed as I could be in God. Maybe saying, I've not come and I've worshipped Jesus, let the shepherd, let the kids, let the wise men. I've not laid down the gift of my life and given that to Jesus. Then come and speak to me. I'd love to be able to explain a little bit more about what it is this Christmas to enjoy the greatest gift of all, the greatest gift of forgiveness of your sins, forgiveness of your past, and knowing that God's gift of His Son, His forgiveness, His blessing, His future over your life. Let's pray, and then the worship team are going to lead us in one final carol. Father God, we thank You for today. Father, we thank You for all that's going on this morning. For our youth and young people declaring that You're the God who empowers them and who gives them talents. For our children who have brought this awesome and fantastic nativity play this morning about the sleepy shepherd. But Lord, I pray for each and every person that we wouldn't be sleeping when there's an opportunity to come and worship and give our best to Jesus. Father God, You gave Your very best 2,000 plus years ago. When You gave the greatest treasure, Your Son Jesus, into this world as the Savior of the world. And Lord, we acknowledge that this morning. We say thank You, Jesus, for coming. But Lord, we recognize not just the coming of the Savior, but the mission, the reason that Jesus came. To save His people from their sin. To be Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, this morning, we choose to be with God. We choose to worship the baby of Bethlehem. We choose to lay our lives before the One who is the Savior of the world, who is our friend, our brother, our King, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live in Your blessing. Lord, help us to trust your ways, to follow your plan, and to commit and to orientate our life around loving and serving you and loving and serving those around about us. Father, we pray and ask it. Let us reflect your glory, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Stand with me, please.